Okay, today I want to talk about thankfulness, but I want to talk about it a little bit different way today. You know, I don't know if you've seen the pictures and the stories of the fires in California. You know, it's been in the news and how many people have lost their lives and how many people are just still lost or not found, or how many missing people there are. But you see some of the devastation that's happened, and people are having to go to shelters, having to get food and all the types of things as they've lost everything. Their entire houses have just burned down to the ground. And you know, it's in this time you see the reactions of people and you hear how they react to things. You know, it's a prolific area in some ways. There's a lot of money in some of those parts. But what you hear the people say afterwards is they go to a place, they've said things like this. One person said, "When you lose everything, you realize that you don't need a lot," she said, "and that the things that are truly important are the things you took with you when you left the fire." And they're speaking of their family, you know, getting out alive with their family and their kids and things like that as being a big blessing and realizing it. As in the fire, you know, happened and took place and put things into perspective. Another one said, "It's probably the best Thanksgiving of my life. A paradise evacuee who stayed with her husband or son in a trailer. Being alive and my family being alive, it makes you realize it. What's the most important things?" And so you see people express gratitude or forced to, you know, be faced with their mortality and just are very, very thankful. You see others who are, you know, bitter about it or, you know, the devastating loss, you know, processed through the whole thing. But we look at that, it's brought into focus what, you know, we really can be or should be thankful for. I know when we celebrate Thanksgiving in this country, it typically consists of big meals and family gatherings and football, and then, you know, a little bit of talk, maybe at the table about what we're thankful for as we go around and things like that. It's usually what it is. And, you know, Thanksgiving is a great holiday. It's my favorite of the year of man's holidays that he's created, obviously. But it's a very noble thing, and it's very encouraging to see the public turn their attention to try to at least be thankful in some sort of a way. Even though a lot don't, you know, give thanks to God, they just give or are thankful for things. But it's encouraging to see this, and it's good for us. I think it's great for the nation to stop and be thankful for and remember and give thanks for the blessings that we do have and for the things that we do have. So what a great holiday that we have, and I very, very much appreciate it. But when we look at giving thanks, I would like for us to understand how it is looked at in the Bible, because there's a much bigger depth to it. You know, we get together, it's not a bad thing to say, "Hey, I'm thankful for all that I've been given, my family and the houses and the cars and my congregation and all those things." But what we find in the Bible is that Thanksgiving is much, much more. And the thing that we need to understand today is that Thanksgiving is actually a form of worship of God. So if you're looking for a title for this, Thanksgiving is a form of worship is the title of this sermon. Let's turn over to start with Philippians 4, verse 6. This is an important thing to contemplate, that Thanksgiving, as we do it and we say it, not a bad thing, it's a great thing, but it's much more to Thanksgiving. It is actually a way for us to worship God. Thanksgiving is. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." So as we pray, as we supplicate, as we are anxious about life, about things, about the turmoil, about the stress, about whatever, that we are to pray about those things. We are to supplicate God. We are to raise our voices to Him. But we are also to add into there thanksgiving. So we must sprinkle in thanksgiving with our prayers as we pray about anything. Don't be anxious, but as we do, pray about things and add thanksgiving to it. "Let your requests be made known to God. In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." This is describing a spiritual law that happens. This is not a self-help talk. This is not a, "Hey, you know, if you're positive, the universe will be positive to you" sentiment, those dumb cards you see on Pinterest or wherever. This is a spiritual law. If you do it like this, if you give prayers and supplications and you sprinkle in there thanksgiving, and this is the mode, the way you talk to God, the way you make requests, the way you approach Him, then there is a peace that comes from God. That's a spiritual connection. That's a spiritual law. That's a spiritual thing that you can enact that you can't understand. It surpasses all understanding. It doesn't make sense necessarily, because you might be right in the middle of the worst trial, the most anxious time, the biggest, hardest thing you've ever gone to. But if you do it in this way, as you come to God and you sprinkle in thanksgiving, then there is a peace that is enacted that comes from God. Hey, I as God will give you this. You can't explain it. It doesn't make sense, but it will come. And it will do things. It will guard your hearts. It'll guard your minds. It'll give you a peace in the middle of anxiety that makes no sense. You can't explain it. Think about that for a minute. That's what you're enacting. This is a spiritual thing that God gives. And it comes by and through the path of thanksgiving. There is a spiritual law he has that's here that comes through the path of thanksgiving, protecting your hearts and minds. Wow, man, that's an incredibly powerful thing. If you have ever been heartbroken, or your heart's rubbed raw or thin, or your mind, or you feel attacked or beleaguered or anything, there's a peace that you can have that doesn't make sense, that comes from God, and it's by way of thanksgiving. It's how it comes. And having somebody guard your heart and your mind, wow, that's a peaceful thing by itself. Having somebody protect you instead of always being attacked and thoughts and all these things coming at you that make you anxious and anxiety and all these things, God can give you some protection and some peace through all of the things that happen. So this is a law that God created that's here. But this thanksgiving is the word Eucharistia. There's a few variants of the word, and it means gratitude, that word thanksgiving there, actively a grateful language to God as an act of worship. Did you catch that? It's not just, hey, I just said thank you. It's gratitude. Actively means that you are deliberately doing it. You are actively going after being thankful. You are making a choice to be with grateful language as worship to God. That's what that word means in that sentence right there. So thankfulness, hey, I'm thankful for my car, my house, and great. This is talking about a deliberate act of being thankful to your God as a form of worship. That's when the peace comes, when that happens. We talk about worshiping God at church. Hey, we come here to worship God. Yes, we do. We sing songs. Yes, we do, especially, et cetera, et cetera. But you realize that thankfulness is a form of worship to God. This is a form of how we should worship God and how God wants to be worshiped. And there's so many things written about it in the Bible. I want to call out a few of them today and show you that. Now, you know what agape love is, right? Agape love is the form of love that says you have philia love, which is brotherly kindness. You have eros, you know, man and wife love. And then you have agape love. And agape love is love that is a deliberate choice. You may not feel it like loving somebody, but you make a deliberate choice. God so loved the world, agape love, that he gave his only begotten son. The world spat on him, hit him, hate him, didn't respond. And he said, guess what? I'm going to do this for the good and the better because I love them. A deliberate act. And that's what agape is, that you choose. It's not based on your feelings. You choose. Guess what? Thankfulness as a form of worship is the same thing. You may not feel it. You may not experience it, but you deliberately choose to do it and to add it into things. That is what that word means. It's a deliberate act for you to do. Turn to Luke 17, 12. We'll see this. Luke 17, 12 is a story of a healing that Christ did. Luke 17, verse 12 says, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. So they went and got cleaned and were all healed. In verse 15, and one of them, so you start with 10, you have one of them. When he saw that he was healed, he did what? He returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down at his feet. Fell down on his face at his feet and gave him Eucharistio. He gave him praise as a deliberate choice, as a worship to God. That's what he gave Christ back. That's how this looks like. There were 10 people who were healed, only one of them came back to say thanks as a deliberate act. One of them. I would question us, what do we belong more in the nine or the one? Where are we mostly? I mean, if you think about this, they had to go somewhere, hike somewhere to the temple, find the priest, be healed. You could easily say, I don't know where Christ is. He's probably gone. Cool guy. Liked him. I'm glad to be healed. Now I can go on with my business. This one person went back to seek out Christ, to find him. Hey, I don't know where he is. They didn't have cell phones or Facebook or checking into Mark safe at locations of the day. You had to go find somebody. So it was an effort for this person to go from there all the way back to find Christ and deliberately fall down and say thank you. That's Eucharistio. Not how you feel, but that you deliberately make a choice to go do this, to go worship God and say thank you to him. Has something ever good happened to you? How much did you go pray and beseech God before that? Hey, Anita, I really need this house. I need this. I need a job. I need a job. I need a job. I need a job. I need that. Whatever it is, you put all this prayer into that beforehand, and then it happens. You're like, oh, and then it's like, hey, thank you, God, and you're off and running. That's not Eucharistio. Eucharistio would stop and come back and find God and spend some time as a form of worship to say thank you for that. Deliberately by choice. Like agape love, thankfulness is the same. It's a deliberate choice. That's what it means. An act of expressed gratitude towards a person. One single person did that. Christ says this for a reason, I think. It's probably not in our thinking to do Eucharistio, to come back deliberately, to say thanks. It's probably not in our thinking. It's probably the multitude of people just go about praying ahead of time, please, 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 and then, okay, thanks, and they're off and running. So 1 out of 10 people do it. This is super important for us to understand. It's so important, too, when we look at the progression of people who turn away from God, who go a debased way, who go off. Turn over to Romans 1, verse 20. We find that part of the cycle of that, of people going off the wrong way, the wrong attitudes, the wrong thing, involves thankfulness or not. It's part of that. Romans 1, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and animals, etc., etc., etc. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness. You see the progression that's said here. These are people that could see God in the creation, could see and understand him at some point, but they didn't glorify him in those things. They didn't go back to praise him. They weren't thankful. What is the word thankful there? Same thing, Eucharistio. There was not an active mentality of saying thank you. It was not part of them to keep doing. They didn't go back to glorify God. They knew it. They didn't do it. And then this is where it progressed off to. You can see here that there is a fundamental spiritual thing about an attitude that we have to have and make part of our life. It's not just a nice to have. It is something how we can worship God. It is an active choice you have to make. Those who don't, it's part of what leads people away. Because there's a spiritual, what do we read at the beginning? Protect your hearts and minds. Right? That's a spiritual promise. Guess what's here when you stop doing that? Their hearts and mind didn't get protected. They went off. They got darkened. Thoughts lodged. Things happened. The hearts became, etc., etc. This is all tied around the idea of thankfulness. Again, this is not a superficial thing. That's why I'm bringing this up. Thanksgiving's great. I appreciate it. Like I said, thankfulness is a form of worship. There is a spiritual law here that we underestimate that must become part of our lives. This is a progression that happened here. Now, you know, they saw God, but they didn't give glory to him. This also applies to like those phrases, you know, hey, if you just are thankful, the universe will emote thankfulness to you. You know, you hear all those kinds of phrases and all these self-help talks and these people on Instagram who are trying to start their little businesses of, you know, 20-year-olds helping everybody change the world, like Tony Robbins. They post these things, you know? If you, you know, just you feel it, the universe will answer it. That's not giving God glory. God is a creator. It says creator here, right? Created things. Guess what he created? That law of thanksgiving. You don't give God glory for that. That's the same thing that happens here. The law is not some ambiguous, I'm being thankful to the space out there type of a thing. It's from God himself. Glory to God. Not some ambiguous statement that feels good. Specific glory to God is where it comes from. We must say that. Not just ambiguous things like that. That's, if you think about it, that is not the completeness of it. But the word here is Eucharistio. They weren't in a pattern and deliberate way of thanksgiving. They didn't give glory to God. Do you see how the progression can go the other way? You can have your heart and mind protected in peace that surpasses all understanding, or you can start to fade out and to get it corrupted somehow, darkened. And there's a path there. So these things are path. Thankfulness is at the center of this. It's the pivot point. It's the thing that can tip you one way or the other. It's what it is, Eucharistio. So, and we find that, I won't read, I'll just quote you 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. What does it say will be in the end times? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. It's part of the list of how things will become and develop at the end time. So therefore, when we know that, it's important for us to add this. It's important for us to understand this. And we're commanded a number of things. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. This is super important. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is not a Pollyanna statement. This is not a false positive. This is not ignoring things that happen. But this is a deliberate choice. Giving thanks in all circumstances means in what? Which circumstances should we give thanks in? It's an easy answer. All. All of them, right? Good ones? Great. Bad ones? Great. Horrible ones? Great. Give thanks. You know what it is? This is the will of God. Hey, I'm doing the will of God. I keep the Sabbath. Are you giving thanks in all circumstances at all times? Is that peppered throughout your life, your thinking and what you say, how you speak and how you pray? Always, not token, but is it from the heart a deliberate choice that's there? This is God's will. You're not fulfilling God's will fully if you're not doing this. It's a pretty deliberate statement. This is the will of God in Christ for you. We rejoice, we pray without ceasing, we give thanks in all circumstances. That's part of what God's will is for you. You want to do God's will or not? Hey, I want to do God's will. Okay, great. What is God's will? I don't know. I came to church. Here's part of it. You want to do God's will, give thanks in all you do. That's what God wants us for us. So again, it could be a hard situation. And again, this is not, I always grapple with this in the past, going through hard things. Then I hear people may not have gone through the hard thing. And I would hear them say, "Oh, don't worry, it's fine." You know, I'd be like, "Yeah, that's fine." You know, and you get a little bit of like, it's, you don't understand how hard it is. And it could be hard. It can be bad. It can be messy. It can be frustrating. It can be lonely. It can be every single thing. Still, you can give thanks. That's what we do. It's not ignoring those things. It's despite enduring those things. Despite them, I don't have to wait for it to get better for me to go give thanks. The point is to give thanks during those things. At the time. At what time? Again, all the time, correct? All the time. I'm just reading words that are out of the Bible. That's all I'm doing. Straight words out of the Bible. The time we give thanks is all the time. Good, bad, hard. You know, and that's something that's super important for us to think about. So when we look at this, giving thanks is a form of how we worship God, a form of worshiping God. I have a bunch of scriptures. I'm not going to turn to them, but let me quote them to you if you want to write them down, and then I'll read them to you. These are all places that talk about thankfulness as worship. Psalms 50, verse 14 says, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Give an offering to God of thanksgiving. Psalm 75, verse 1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, exclamation point. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. Psalm 75, 1. Psalms 92, verse 1 and 2. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. What are they giving thanks about? The love of God, faithfulness. You're singing about or praising and being thankful of spiritual things. Psalms 95, verse 2. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God and the great King above all gods. That's talking about singing even. For us to sing, we should be thankful and give psalms of thanks. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Where's his gates and courts? You as a body are that. As you walk in here, that's a command. Enter into them with thanksgiving. Walk in here with thanksgiving. With praise for God, thankful to him, bless God's name. Psalms 116, verse 17 and 19 through 19. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord. Now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Do you know there's sacrifices in the Old Testament? We'll take time to go there that were of thanksgiving sacrifice, of giving thanks. There were offerings that you could give thanks with. It was a form of worship, right? Why do we have, we don't do those sacrifices anymore. Yeah, well, there's a point to what God was looking for, and this is it. You read that and understand the point he was trying to make is that it was an offering that you give. It's a sacrifice that you give of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice of your time and your words and your thoughts and your energy. If you're not doing this, you're not worshiping God fully. It's a sacrifice of your time and your lips and your energy. Daniel 6:10, what did he do? Three times a day, he prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. Why was Daniel so beloved? Why did God give him blessings and things and protection? Three times a day, he sat on, got on his knees and gave thanks to God. That's part of it. It says it right there. He did that three times a day. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's a form of worship. It's an offering you can give. It's a devotion of your time. It's a thing you focus. It's a devote. It's something you put your energies to. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. To God in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians 4, verse 2 through 3. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying for us that God would open a door. Being vigilant in your prayers with thanksgiving is the phrase that's in Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in your prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. These things are always connected together. Vigilance. If you're about to be attacked, what is vigilance? You're awake, you're alert, you're looking, you're thinking, what do I do? This. If you get the gist of thanksgiving, it's not just a little thing you do here and there. Oh, thank you for my car. Thank you for my house. It is very much an active thing, like agape love. You choose to think and focus and do and deliberately go to God as that one person had to walk back and find him, giving thanks. That's Eucharistio. That is giving thanks. What do the angels do at God's throne? Revelation 7, verse 11 and 12. All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their face before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessed and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might. be to our God forever and ever. Amen. These are the words that the angels speak to God at his throne. Thanksgiving to God at all times. The 24 elders are at the throne. Revelation 11, verse 16. The 24 elders fell down and they said, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is to come, because you've taken your great power and reigned," etc. Can you see the worship of God? The thrones, they were bowing down, the crowns, or they fell on their faces. Let me start over. The elders fell on their faces and they worshiped God. And the way that they did that is, "We give you thanks." It is a form of worship that we see written throughout the entire Bible, over and over and over. It is done in heaven. It is done and written in the scriptures, all different places. And again, it's a spiritual thing in a form and a way we deliberately worship God. Can you see the difference of that in just a day of Thanksgiving is great. That's great. And it's great for us to focus. But this is so much more. This is a deliberate act to worship God. It's part of the worship of God. We tend to run out of things to say because we only think about this on a physical realm, right? How do we give thanks? Usually, and it's important for us to, "Hey, thank you for giving me the job and that victory and my house and my family and health," or whatever the things are that are physical. We tend to say those things, and it's good to say those things. I'm not knocking those at all. But you run out of that pretty quickly, and you repeat it, and then it feels a little hollow, and it feels a little focused on physical. How do you give thanks to God? How do we do it? You know, how we do it is we focus on the spiritual things that God is doing in your life, in other people's lives, on the world scene, and you give thanks for those things up, down, left, and right. You pick one apart. That's where I know before when I was preparing a sermon, I was thinking about that. Hey, I've been giving thanks to, thanks for the people who help and all this other stuff. And that's good to do. But as I was reading through this, the things that people gave thanks to God for were all spiritual things, and thinking about them and their impact and what they were doing with people and the changes in people's lives. And so I thought, let me do that today. Patience is one of those things. It's a spiritual thing, and it's something that's super important as a lesson. So let me read. You can turn to them if you want, but I have a slew of scriptures here. I'll do the same, read them pretty quickly because there's a lot. Romans 1:8. What do people give thanks to God for? Let's read it in the Bible so we know what to give thanks to God for. How do we pray? You probably will remember all these scriptures because you've read them at one point or another, but don't really think of it the same way. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Hey, I thank God the faith that you have as a congregation. Everybody in around the world has seen it and recognized it, and I'm very thankful to God for that faith. You see what he's praying for? A spiritual thing. Daniel 2, verse 23. What did Daniel pray for when he got down on his knees to give thanks? I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. He prayed and gave God thanks for the wisdom that was given at that time, for the dreams and the things. That's a spiritual gift. He focused on the spiritual things. Psalms 35, 18. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. At church, as you talk to other people, we should give thanks and praise to God. Has God done something for you in your life? Say, I'm very thankful to God that he has done this for me in my life. It may be awkward to say, but say it. No big deal. Hey, I'm super thankful. I really am thankful. Just want to praise God for that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 is another one. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. What's he praying about? Hey, thanks for the church building. Yeah, I'm sure he could say that. But the things that Paul prayed about all the time were spiritual things. You received the word. Man, I am so thankful to God because God's the one who has to open the eyes that I spoke the word. And you actually received it. not from men, us, but God. It's true. It's the word of God, not me, God. You received it. That's a spiritual thing, to give thanks. When you start to think about thanks like this, I bet you could find a lot of things to pray about. No, possibly. If you don't have a lot of things to pray about, maybe sit down and think about it, and maybe start talking to people. Ask them. Let's see. What did Christ do? Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Christ, when he prayed, what did you have? Do you remember? Like, we read this at Passover as he goes and prays. He says, thank you so many times. Thank you, Father. Thank you in this case that you've hidden it from the humanly wise and given them to babes, that you have a plan that's so wise that will confound those at some point. And he always says, thank you, Father. Christ did this all the time. John 11:41. So Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but many of your people are standing by. I say this that they may believe that you sent me. Do you see how he sprinkles in thank you? He could just say, hey, it could be a stressful situation. He could go, hey, you know, please help them to believe. He doesn't. He says, thank you. Thank you, you've heard me. Thank you that you always do and for doing this. And you can you hear the change of the tone of the voice when you start to think and talk and pray like that? That's how Christ always talked too. It was sprinkled throughout what he said. Thanks was always there. And again, I don't mean it's fake. It can feel fake for us, I think, because we just, I'm just making things up to say thank you for. But stop for a second, half a second, and say, what is the thing that's the spiritual thing going on here that I'm really thankful for? I'm thankful, man, I'm really thankful for you. I remember you a year ago, you were struggling, and God has done a couple miracles, and I see him working in your life, and I'm so thankful for that. It takes you 2 seconds to come up with something if you stop and think about it. Not just, hey, thank you for coming today. Thank you. You're my friend. You know, think about it for 2 seconds. That's a deliberate act. There's a difference between just a reaction, I've got to put my check mark in there, and you deliberately thinking about it. If you have a friendship with somebody, you know, you can be superficial and fire things back and forth like this. But when somebody takes its 2 seconds to give you thought, they go buy you a present that they know you like, write you a card with words of something that's meaningful to you, and they give it to you. What do you feel about that? You know that somebody was taking a deliberate act and time out of their schedule to do something that landed with you, that you felt and knew was genuine. That's what you're doing to God. Do you know that? We do this to people. We write a card and we get a gift. Do you know you're doing that to God? And God goes, you know what kind of a relationship that builds? It's a two-way street. We're in a relationship. We are not a robot. We're in a relationship, and give to that relationship. God gives you in the relationship. Give back. That's what this worship is about, deliberately thinking about it. Like, you go find a gift that somebody likes and take your time to do it and write that card and the words that somebody, and give it to them. And they go, man, that's great. That's what this is all about. Paul, Philippians 1:3-6. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident in this very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ. What was Paul thankful for and praying about? The spiritual things about the people around him. Thinking and looking at that. We have to put on our spiritual glasses for this. Colossians 1:3-5. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of this hope, which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. That's what he's giving thanks about. When you start to read these things that Paul gave thanks about, Christ gave thanks about, other people, Daniel gave thanks about, Joseph gave thanks about, they're all spiritual things. That's Eucharistio. God, I recognize the work you're doing. In me, oh, that person too. Oh, wait, this body. Oh, wait, on a larger scale. Oh, wait. When you put your eyes there, when you deliberately think about it, when you deliberately take the time, that's Eucharistio. That is you worshiping God. That is something that will protect your heart and give you peace. I don't know about you. I think we all want that. I think we all want that. You want a free gift? There's one for you. go give thanks. God gives you, go, well, I'll give you some peace and I'll protect that heart and mind. Right? That's an incredible, incredible gift. And then I'll read one more, Philemon 1 verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus Christ, towards all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Hearing of your love and your faith. The things that he prayed about were all spiritual things. You know, this thankfulness is an antidote to bitterness, too. You know, if Hebrews 12, verse 15 talks about, lest the root of bitterness spring up inside you, cause trouble, and you become defiled. A root of bitterness can lodge. A root of bitterness can take hold. You go through hard things. You go through unfair things. You go through things that don't make sense. You go through things other people don't have to go through. You go through things that completely you thought you were over and you need a break and you don't get a break. And you get a little bit madder. There's all these things can lodge as a root of bitterness. And guess what is an antidote to unlodge a root of bitterness? What is it? It's thankfulness. Eucharistio. Not a fake one. Eucharistio is not fake. Not superficial. Oh, thank you for my car at my house. It's a deep thought, deliberate act to go to God and think through the spiritual things and say thank you for them. Try it when you don't feel like it. Do it when it doesn't feel thankful. When you do these things, that's when the spiritual things kick in. Do you see how that works? Like agape. You love somebody when they didn't deserve it, and it has an impact because it's God's principle. When you give thanks, when you don't feel it, and you'd make it part of your life, it comes back as peace. You remember Jonah. Turn over to Jonah 2, verse 1. Just read part of this. What was Jonah? What would be one word you could describe him as? Starts with B and rhymes with itter. Jonah was just bitter, right? He's yelling at God for what? Ah, you're merciful. I knew you would be merciful. I mean, he's just angry. Ah, I knew it. Ugh. The guy's just complaining. So what did God do? God sent a big fish and ate him. So he's down in the middle of the water in the belly of this fish. I mean, imagine this in life. Imagine being eaten by a fish and you go, what is going on here? Right? And going down deep, going down into the ocean. I mean, I would panic. I don't know about you. I'm claustrophobic. I'd panic at that whole thing. But man, this guy is down in the depths of the fish. In Jonah chapter 2, go down to verse 4. I've been cast out of your sight. Verse 5, the water surrounded me, even to my soul. I mean, imagine being inside the belly of fish and the water is just closing around you. You're claustrophobic, and then weeds are wrapped around his head. You're all entangled in all this stuff. You must be pretty, I mean, couldn't take that, honestly. That is super hard, right? He's in the worst spot you could possibly be. They went down to the moorings of the mountains. The fish kept going down. No, swim up, fish. No, it's going down. The earth with its bars closed forever behind me. I'm looking up, or I'm seeing out of the fish's mouth as it opens, and there goes the sun, and it's gone. I'm going way down. You brought up my life from the pit, O Lord. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Finally, bitter Jonah. What did bitter Jonah say? He's in the worst situation you could possibly be, isn't he? I don't know if you can name one worse than this at some point. And then verse 8, what did he pray? I remembered God all of a sudden. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I, what? I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Guess what? That's the antidote to bitterness. Jonah got it finally there. He kind of came and lost it again, but he got it here. What's the antidote to all of that bitterness, even if you're in the middle of the worst of it? Think about that. You don't have to be out of it. He's in the worst of it. He's in the worst of the worst of it. He's in the way worst of the worst of it. Seaweed wrapped around your head in a fish going down and not up in the water. And you stop and go, I will give you thanksgiving. I will say thanks. Right? Antidote to bitterness right there. It's a spiritual thing, not a superficial thing. I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. He gave credit. And guess what happened? The Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited him out on dry land. Those things aren't by accidentally written there. Can you see that? It's forever in the Bible, up, down, left, and right. It's a real spiritual principle. It's something. So how do we give thanks? We focus on the spiritual things, both in your life. Think about them. Pick them apart. Has God given you a miracle in the past? Yes. Has God given you a miracle now? Yes. What about your baptism? Oh, I remember that. What about the faith that's been built? Oh, hey, and oh, not just me. What about my family? I see that. What about my friends? What about my congregation? When you start to think spiritually, you can pick apart a lot of things to give thanks about. Add that to your prayers. If you don't have this in your prayers, you are not worshiping God fully yet. You have a chance to. You have patience. We can add it. Your life will change for this, not from a superficial Tony Robbins perspective of rah-rah, but from a deep spiritual principle of Eucharisto and worship to God and peace and guarding your hearts and minds. Way. Much more than Thanksgiving Day. It's this. Let me just give you some prayers. I won't read any of these, but I'll give you some prayers to go away and read. Psalms 139, verse 13 to 18. If you want to see some things to be thankful for, I just give you a few prayers of Thanksgiving. There's a ton in the Bible. You can find them. In fact, it'd be great to share them. Another one's 1 Chronicles 16, verse 7 through 36. 17 through 30, then when the Ark of the Covenant came back and David delivered, he handed this song over to Asaph. And it's all about, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make his deeds known among the peoples, sing to him, sing songs of praise. You know, you've heard that song. Read that one on your knees. Here's another one, is Psalms 107, the whole chapter. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. When you read through these things, you'll see a lot of the spiritual things you can pray about. You can break these verses apart and go, yeah, let me just focus on that verse. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just pick it apart and spend time. I'm not going to give you some ratio, but if you have no time doing this, or your thanks are superficial, interject a period of just make yourself pray for things and give thanks and think about them. Break two verses apart. How does this apply in my life? Oh, yeah, I can say the same thing. Thank you for delivering from the enemy. When I was baptized, but last week too, I was saved. And thank God for the spiritual things. Psalms 107, oh, that men would praise their God. We have a song in the book, oh, that men would praise their God. This is what this comes from. That is what this verse comes from. So read through that, and you'll see how some of these thankfulness and what they focused on are prayed about. So this is Eucharisto. When we look at Thanksgiving, we see time and time again, and I read a bunch of scriptures, and there's a whole bunch more. But Thanksgiving is a form of worship. It's a deliberate act. It's a focus. It's a thing we have to think about, and it's a thing we dwell on and focus on the spiritual aspects. Don't be the nine who didn't return. Be the one who returned and had to seek him out and just say thank you. Thank you, thank you. That's Eucharisto. That's praying without ceasing. That's doing it with thanksgiving. That's enacting peace of God will be with you that will guard your hearts and minds. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. So when we look at Thanksgiving, let's not be superficial about it. Let's understand it's a form of worshiping God. We're not complete unless we add that in. Read people's examples who do it and see what they prayed about. Let's do it here. I'd like to ask our song leaders to, you know, pick songs that are of Thanksgiving. And let's all of us give thanks. I'd like to ask special music people, too. Now and again, pick songs that give thanks. Let's ask the people who give prayers. Make sure you give thanks to God. Think about what you're saying and give a prayer of thanks. I'd like to ask our sermonette and our sermon people to sprinkle thanks through what you say. These are all spiritual matters. This is a form of worship. We come here to worship. This is a way in which we worship as well. So let's think about this. And let's know that Thanksgiving is a form of worshiping God.